Hi, you guys. We have had such a time here in Dallas for the month of May. It has been storming like crazy. I remember maybe during the second week of May, I woke up and it was raining and lightning and thundering so bad. It sounded so terrible outside. Usually that type of weather would scare me, but for some reason it gave me so much peace and I just closed my eyes and I went right back to sleep. God revealed to me in a time during my Bible study that because of my surrender, that is what my storms would be like in my life. They may seem terrible. However, he's going to allow me to sleep right through them because I finally realized that he was the one in control. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." In Christ Jesus. I am finally in. For so long, I felt like I was near God. But now I know that I am in God. I am in the peace of God, in the joy of God, in the love of God. And most importantly, I am finally in the Word of God. If you really want to have a hot girl summer, don't worry about being outside. Worry about being in. This is such an exciting time for me because this is the sixth episode of Speak Your Life podcast. We are officially past 30 days and we're heading into our second month. I'm so thankful that God is piloting this aircraft because I could not do it without him. Today, we're talking about God's redeeming power. I could give you so many examples in the Bible about God redeeming his people. To redeem means to compensate for the faults or bad aspects of something, or gain or regain possession of something in exchange for payment. My pregnancy story is my redemption story. So I'll start by saying this. If math is math and truth is truth, the math and the truth will tell you that I was pregnant in May, 1 month before my 14th birthday. The young man I was with at the time was my boyfriend, and we actually broke up that summer. Young love. Neither he nor I knew I was pregnant at the time. I'm not even sure if I even realized that what he and I did equaled baby. I don't know. I don't even know whether I was coming or going that summer. I went and I spent that summer with my cousin in Augusta, Georgia. Her father was a lieutenant colonel in the military. We had such a great time. My aunt found this really cool camp for us to go to. We did a lot of swimming. We hung around the mall. And me losing my virginity was such a distant memory. When I returned to Montgomery, I learned that I would be starting a new school. My brother was no longer eligible to attend any school in the state of Alabama, or I should say public school, because he had given a young man a concussion during a fight. My mother found this small Christian school who agreed to take him, so she decided to enroll me and my sister as well. The school year began, and there I was, pregnant as can be, and I did not have a clue. No one did. And I know you're thinking, didn't someone start to question as time progressed? And the answer to that question is no. No one questioned anything. And I have some things that I want you all to consider. The first thing is my mother worked nights. She was an RN at the hospital. And I don't think during that time my mama ever saw me standing up. She would come home from work. She would wake us up to get ready for school. And then she would head to bed to get ready for her shift that night. When we got home, she'd be getting ready for work and heading out the door. I had a father that lived in Houston, Texas. I had a school uniform that I never outgrew during this time. And of course, my figure was changing, but it wasn't changing drastically enough for those people who saw me every single day. The young man who was the father, well, we broke up. And now we were going to different schools, so like most little teenage romances, it was over, it was done. We never spoke again during this time. I also was not dating anyone or talking to any young man during this time. So life was just moving right along as normal as could be. And the whole time there was this life that was living inside of me. My Christian school had some pluses. It introduced me to God in a very real way. It was while attending this school that I gave my life to Christ during one of our devotional services, and I also was filled with the Holy Ghost at a separate devotional service. And like most things, you have your good things and you have your bad things. And the school that I attended was no different. But we will get to that later in the story. I want to fast forward to Christmas. My aunt, who has not seen me since the summer, immediately sees the difference in my figure. By this time, I would be about 7 months. She tells my mother that I looked pregnant and that she needed to take me to the doctor. I shared with you all in episode 5 that my mother takes me to the doctor around the first or second week of January. She picks me up from school. She says, "I'm taking you to the doctor." I'm still not really thinking anything about it. And if you're asking yourself, what about her cycle? Didn't she know she was pregnant because her cycle stopped? Well, it did stop, but we have a history of that in my family. Irregular cycles or cycles just stopping when starting and then stopping when you're young. And I thought it was just like that. And if I actually kind of reflect and think about it long enough, I don't know if I was in extreme denial or if I was just young, naive, and clueless. Either way, I did not wake up every day thinking to myself, "Oh my God, I'm pregnant. I need to find a way to hide this from my mama." I honestly never thought about it at all. We are at the doctor's office and we get called into the patient room, and the nurse informs me that I'll be taking a pregnancy test. And I do. My mother and I were sitting in the patient room quietly waiting. The nurse re-enters the room with the results, and she looks at me in my face and she says to me, as nasty as she possibly could, "It's time for you to stop lying." I just turned and looked at my mama because I didn't know what I had been lying about. My mom says, "So the test is positive?" And the nurse replies, "Yes." She says, "The doctor will be here in a moment." I believe that during this whole time, my mother was just dealing with complete and utter shock. And she was trying to find a way to cope. I do wish, however, that my mother would have defended me during this time. My experience with this doctor's office was terrible. The doctor and her entire staff treated me like trash. Honestly, because of this, I will never have a female doctor. Never. And this episode is going to be very triggering for me, so you all have to bear with me. Regardless of their opinion of me, I just find it interesting that they made sure to let me know at the age of 14 that I was nothing. I was never treated by any kindness by anyone in that office. And it still actually makes my skin crawl to see the doctor's name on my child's birth certificate. And if that was not bad enough, one of the nurses that worked at the doctor's office called the school that I attended to let them know that I was pregnant. That is right. That is right. When I was at the doctor's office, I was wearing my school uniform. One of the nurses attended the church that was associated with the school. And because this was a Christian school, they had a school policy against premarital sex off campus. So of course I was pregnant, so this was evidence that I had clearly broken the rules. They called my mother into the office and told her they would have to let me go from the school because of the school policy. My mother spoke to the pastor and his wife that were over the church and the school, as well as the principal and the other staff. They eventually agreed that since I was pregnant before I enrolled, they would grant a concession to me and would use this as an opportunity to minister to the rest of the school. Yes, I was the poster child at this school for just say no to premarital sex. And this is also 1995, during what we all know as purity culture. So you know that the adults were salivating at the opportunity to use me as a cautionary tale. During one of the devotional services, I was called up to the front of the sanctuary to confess to my classmates that I was pregnant. I honestly, I don't know how my baby survived my pregnancy once it was actually revealed that I was pregnant. Because I just remember at this moment, I'm completely dead inside. The only thing that had to be living at that moment was my child. I really believe that that little baby's heartbeat kept me alive during this time. Baby, maybe that little heartbeat of yours was just beating for the both of us. And that's why your heart is so big. And that's why you love the way that you love. And that's why you care for people the way that you do. Because you had to have a heart big enough to keep you and your mama alive. So don't stop loving people the way that you do. Don't stop doing the things that you do. God made you that way for a reason. During that day, class was suspended for this emergency premarital sex discussion. The boys were separated from the girls, and I, of course, was in the breakout group for the girls to be asked all these intrusive questions. When was my first cycle? How many times was I intimate with my ex-boyfriend? Why were he and I intimate? How many partners had I had? It was so crazy and so mortifying. I had to sit and answer questions and listen to this teacher slash minister talk about how I lost the most precious gift that I was supposed to be giving to my husband. And again, here I am being told that I'm nothing. And now apparently I'm no longer suitable for marriage. I hated the people at that school and at that doctor's office for so long. And I also hated school for a really long time and still do, because I have toyed with the fact of returning to school to get my master's. And every time I think about it, it just makes me sick to my stomach. So God still has some things that he's working out of me. And I'm finally to the point in my life where I'm okay with letting him do it. Oof. Okay, guys, we're getting to it. They estimated that my delivery date would be February 24th. Well, February 3rd, 1995 rolls around. It's a Friday and I'm at school feeling very uncomfortable. I'm having contractions, but I don't know it because even though I'm pregnant, no one has explained anything to me. My brother tells my mother when she gets home that I wasn't feeling well at school. She asks me to describe to her what was going on, and I do. And she says, I think you may be going into labor. She tells me to tell her every time I feel something. She estimates that I'm having contractions and they're probably coming every 20 minutes. She doesn't want to take any chances, so she calls my doctor. The doctor tells her that she doesn't think that I'm in labor and that I'm still in denial and that I'm just looking for attention and that she can take me to the hospital if she wants to, but if it was her, she wouldn't. My mother takes me to the hospital. I want to pinpoint something. My doctor tells my mother that I'm looking for attention. This is why it is so important that you do not internalize the things that people say about you, especially a person who does not know you. I have never been an attention seeker. I actually have been the type of person who prefers for the attention not to be on me. I don't require a lot of attention. I don't want a lot of attention. But I have a person who's talking about me who does not even know me. But because I'm young, I don't know any better but to take it all in. So now I'm on my way to the hospital and I feel like I'm just being a spectacle who's looking for attention. My mama also warns me and says that I might not be treated kindly at the hospital. Newsflash, I haven't been treated kindly throughout this whole ordeal. But she says that sometimes nurses and staff look down on young girls who come into the hospital pregnant because, you know, during the 90s that there was a high rise of that, teenage mothers. So she told me, don't take it personally and, you know, we'll just deal with it the best that we can. I am admitted to the hospital because the baby's coming. I have a nurse that evening and I wish to God I could remember her name. But she is the first person in a position within the medical community that treats me like I am actually a person. She talks to me and she doesn't talk at me. She doesn't accuse me of anything. She doesn't make me feel dirty or worthless. I'm her patient and she actually acts like she cares about me. I feel a little relaxed, but not completely, because I'm paranoid that since they say that the baby's coming, that my doctor will come up to the hospital. This frightens me because I feel with my doctor's attitude, it may change the nurse's attitude towards me. I get my epidural and the nurses say they believe that the baby will be along in the morning and that I need to get some sleep because they say they don't call it labor for nothing. I want to sleep, but I can't sleep because I'm afraid the doctor will come to the hospital. My mother finally gets word that she won't be there until the morning and I'm finally able to go to sleep. In the morning, I wake up to my father standing in the room, my papa. He didn't even know I was pregnant. He had no clue. My mother had not told him anything. We can get into that, but I'm not, because that's their personal drama. If he didn't know Cole, why is he there? Truly by God's plan. He was traveling. He was coming through Alabama and decided to stop and see his children. I didn't know I would need him, but God knew that I needed my father there. Morning means there is a shift change. That means I will be getting a new nurse. My nurse was so kind, even till the end of her shift. She asked a specific nurse to put me on her rounds. And again, I was met with great care and kindness. The afternoon rolls around and they say it's time. My doctor still isn't there and I'm so glad. But it doesn't matter. The baby has decided she was tired of waiting and she was on her way. In the delivery room, I have my mom, my dad, and my mom's best friend. My parents were on either side of me, and my other mama was in the back standing and praying. I'm starting to push. It's difficult. This baby is so big, and no one knew it. I was so tiny that they really did not think that the baby was going to be of any significant size, but she was. My doctor finally comes into the room about 15 minutes into me trying to push. And the doctor's trying to get me to push. And my mom is trying to get me to push. And it's so hard. And I just feel like I can't. And I tell my mama, I said, Mama, I'm tired and I just can't do it, Mama. I can't do it. The doctor says, well, we're getting to the point where we may need to go ahead and take her for a C-section. My daddy tells everybody in the room to shut up. And he says to me, sweetheart, you don't have a choice. You have to push. Do you hear me? Now, I'm going to tell y'all, I really do hate that you all do not have the pleasure of hearing my father speak. His voice is a whole separate person. My father's voice will fill an entire room. So when he speaks to me, I say, yes, sir. And the doctor says, push. But my daddy yells, push. My mother is crying and he says, shut up, Deborah. And he's screaming at me to push. And there she is. There is my baby that her grandfather pushed into the world. Whew. Cole, this is a long story. What in the world does this have to do with God's redeeming power? What's so great about God is that he equips us even when we don't know it. He was delivering me before the delivering. Before anyone even knew I was pregnant, I was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost because God knew I would need that redeeming power to be able to survive what I was going to have to go through next, to be able to stand in the midst of people who reminded me as much as they possibly could that I was worthless. I really shudder to think about how my life would have been if God was not covering me during this time. I mean, I felt worthless. But when I would read his word, he told me that I was so worthy that he died for me. After the initial doctor's visit, I really just contemplated just like ending myself. I felt so empty. I felt so stupid. And I just felt like such a disappointment to my parents. I would repeat to myself over and over and over again, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I remember at night I would just pray in my room. And I would ask God, I'd say, God, please don't let me perish. Please don't let me perish. And every day I would wake up the next morning and I would still be here on earth. Me waking up in the morning and my father being in my hospital room is such a great example of God's power and just how he knows what we need even before we need him. He knew my father was the only one who could inspire me to push past my limits. Even today, when I feel like I want to give up and I say to myself, no more. I can't do it. It's too hard. I'm tired. I hear my father. I was doing really good. I hear my father's voice and his voice that fills the room that says, sweetheart, you don't have a choice. You push. You hear me? God redeemed my will. He redeemed my fight. And he redeemed my confidence through my father. I will always find an extra push because not only did my father on earth tell me that I had one in me, so did my father in heaven. When we came home and things cooled down, my mother finally sat down to speak with me. She said that everyone was giving her advice about how she needs to deal with me moving forward. She said that everyone is telling me that I need to put you on birth control. But I can't believe my mother said this to me. But I don't want to teach you that it's okay to have sex, but it's not okay to get pregnant. I need you to decide the life that you want to live. If you want to live outside of God's word, I'll put you on birth control. But you are going to have to decide. People will look at you and decide that they already know you. It's going to be hard, but you're going to have to live their standard of thinking when it comes to you. You're the only one in this room that can decide the type of person you want to be. My mother redeemed trust. She let me know that she was willing to trust me and that I had to also trust myself. I had to be a woman of integrity and truthfulness. Who did I want to be? Don't lie to her about it and don't lie to myself. Who are you, Cole? That was a hard decision for a 14-year-old. She also added, the first time is a mistake and the second time is a habit, and I don't support anybody's bad habit. I told her I wanted to live my life for Christ, and my mother did not put me on birth control, and she did not make me live my life like I was on a permanent punishment. My mother redeemed my worth. She did not make me my mistake. Honestly, I feel like my mama could write a book about how she handled that situation with so much grace. She never made me feel like she was embarrassed of me. I was worthy of her forgiveness, and I was still worthy of my youth. I did not have to be this adult that she knew I was not. And of course, I was a mother now, but she was still my mother, and she would guide me, and she would be an example for me, and she still is today. Mama and Papa, job well done. Y'all, this is the end of this episode because it took everything out of me and took all I had. So, I believe I'm going to end things here. I was very nervous about this being my sixth episode, and I tried so hard not to just cry all the way through it. I hope I did a good job. I appreciate you staying to the end, and I will see you all next Friday at 5 p.m. Central. Take care.